When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Ahoy, Mets fans. Welcome back to Today Your Love, Tomorrow the World Series. My name is Brian. With me, as always, is Chris. And Chris, we are 2 weeks away from opening day as we are recording this. And there's a couple of Mets news items I think are worth mentioning. These two are kind of related. Well, they are related, but the news to one is not the relation to the other. So Kodai Senga was shut down a few weeks ago, as we talked about, with the shoulder capsule injury. And the Mets have delayed the beginning of his throwing program by a week. According to them, out of an abundance of caution, he has not suffered a setback. They just want to make sure that he is in the best position he can be in to start his season healthy, not the season. We know he's starting the season late, but to start his season, you know, healthy. Because of that injury, not because of the setback, Jose Quintana has been announced as the opening day starter for the Mets, which was, I think, a presumed move at this point, but it is now official. So, generally, what are your thoughts about Quintana as the opening day starter and the delay to Senga's throwing program?
Yeah, with Senga, that's not the update that we wanted to hear. I don't disagree with the approach of getting it right and making sure that he's in the best position to ramp things up and be healthy and productive and get back on the mound for the Mets as soon as possible. We're in this phase of what's a setback, what's not a setback. And if he hasn't started throwing yet, can it possibly be a setback and so on and so forth. But sure. If an extra week means the odds that he can complete a 6-week ramp up program are significantly higher, I'm not opposed to them doing it, but it's also hard not to hear that and think that they know more than we do. And Right. Their imaging or physical exams or whatever that they're, you know, whatever they're doing to keep an eye on it isn't showing either healing or
improvement,
resolution to the
right.
Yeah. Right. It's, you know, inflammation, whatever it is. You can't help but have some concern. So
part of this is also just the PTSD of being a Mets fan of for how long we have heard things like this isn't a setback. And then it turns out it is a setback. The Mets just weren't announcing it as such. I don't know if that's a uniquely Mets problem or just a sports in general problem, but I associate that feeling with being a Mets fan. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, no, I do too. And I think it's probably because we pay by far the closest attention to the
right
small details with this team, even as someone who is a four team person at this point. I could tell you more about the fine details and roster stuff and, you know, as it pertains to the Mets and Major League Baseball than I can and probably the other three combined. But I've definitely seen the similar tendency to, I mean, the NHL is just ridiculous. You don't even know what body part is injured. You get like the half of the body.
Right. Yeah.
Upper or lower body injury, often without a timetable. You know, so that terminology can be very vague, but on the European football front, I'd say you see some similar stuff, even as a fan of a team that's considered to be very well run and all that. You see some stuff where somebody comes back, maybe comes back a little bit too soon, aggravates an injury, and, you know, or is or isn't in practice, and how that's described. I don't think it's quite as unique to the Mets as it feels like it is to us, but
sure.
Nonetheless, here we are, but we don't podcast about any other sports team every week. It's the Mets.
True. Yeah.
In terms of Quintana.
Yeah.
You know, hey, good for him. This is somebody who I think I continue to be an advocate for players in their, you know, mid to late 30s.
Cool question for you, sir. Will that creep into the 40s when you cross the 40th parallel in just a few months?
I guess we'll find out.
Okay. I wasn't sure how much of this was just self-serving. You know, in case you decide to make a major league run, you want to make sure that that you've been advocated for. You know,
right? Yeah. Now I did hear about a summer wood bat league up here that I might go injure myself in. So, you know. But yeah, it is. It's always cool, and I think part of the reason too isn't just that we're getting older. I mean, that's a big part, no doubt about it. But the Mets have had some of these late career types, late career turnaround or breakout, or even just more of an appreciation. Bartolo Colon didn't necessarily have his best seasons at his oldest, but he had some of his really good ones. And
R.A. Dickey did. He had his best seasons at his oldest.
Yeah, Dickey's the one who really comes to mind as just the ultimate, someone written off, your arm physically doesn't even make sense that your arm could work as a major league pitcher, just completely discarded and persistent and patient in getting back. You know, Quintana has not been to any of those depths, but I think just a few years ago, you could have called into question whether or not he was still a major league pitcher. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody definitively told him he wasn't, but yeah, pandemic season, he didn't pitch much. He didn't pitch much in 21, and he was awful when he did. So to turn things around like he did in age 33 season in 2022, he goes out and has one of the best seasons, if not the best, depending on like your preferred pitching metric of his career, and certainly the best one he had had in a long time. So not someone who's done that with the Mets, but considering a year ago he had gotten an update, and it wasn't cancer or anything, but he got an update that he had a medical issue that required surgery, and that knocked out his first half of the season.
And then some, right? He didn't come back till almost the end of the year. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, 13 starts. So yeah, that's really a little bit more than a third of what you'd hope to do as a starting pitcher. So for the person, hey, I'm really happy for him. That's got to feel good. Only one pitcher gets to do that every year, or only 30 in total, but only one on your team. And it's a bit of a nod to just what he's done, and you still can't help but wonder what would have happened if he had been fully healthy and we just collectively avoided the David Peterson experience in the first half of last season.
Right.
And now, you know, now Peterson's in his shoes. So it's, as people, you feel good for them. You know, it's not a sexy name. We've run the gamut, really, from like Tyler
Dylan
McGill,
G.
Dylan yeah. G to Justin Verlander and Jacob DeGrom. Like, you know, well, Verlander didn't happen. So
that's true. Yeah.
Nix that.
Max Scherzer, like, and Jacob DeGrom.
Johan Santana has made an opening day start for the Mets.
Right.
Did Pedro in one of his, he must have.
I think he did in his first year. He definitely did in his first year. Yeah. Against Cincinnati. How do I remember that? The game was blown by a Brandon Looper, a blown save on the, I believe, on the road in Cincinnati. I believe that's how that season began, the 05 season.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds about right.
When I'm on my deathbed and I've forgotten my children's names, I'll say Brandon Looper, and I'll breathe my last breath. Anyway. Yeah, I feel good about Quintana. Our sister podcast, A Pod of Their Own, every year does a segment where they pick their dudes for the year, like the guy that they have good vibes about and they're rooting for. And in the pre-show production chat, I had mentioned that Quintana was going to, if I got a vote, Quintana was my dude. And our friend Maggie Wiggins said that she was going to pick somebody else, but she also had strong Quintana vibes. So we have partnered in on Quintana being our dude for the season. And so... I was already going to be rooting for him pretty hard, but just for Apato bragging rights, I am going really hard on Quintana this season. And I think that he is a very good pitcher that could do good things for the Mets. You know, one of the things I wanted to bring up to you, and this is not in our outlines, my apologies, is there was an SNY Instagram graphic the other day, and I don't know how much should be read into this at all, but I certainly don't think it's a bad thing, which was that the Mets are... At least at the time of that publication, it was the Mets were the number one team in ERA in the majors in spring training and the number two team in starting pitcher ERA in spring training. Like I said, I don't think that you should get a plaque for that by any means, but it's certainly better than the alternative is. How much stock do you, if any, take in the Mets starting pitching looking good this spring so far?
Not much. Or at least not much in the sense of comparative stats like that. I think the best of it, and it would be a lot easier to have this perspective seeing some of it in person, because there is a difference. I mean, I'd love watching on TV, but there's a difference in terms of what you see, and especially on the spring training side of things in baseball. So much is happening outside of the Grapefruit League game that is being broadcast sometimes.
Right.
I feel like broadcasts are less common now in spring training than maybe ever before.
I don't get that, by the way, but that's a topic for a different day.
Yeah. I the home games, I think SNY and picks combined cover everything. But yeah, it's very hard to see a lot of it. But even when you are seeing it, you're not necessarily seeing everything that's going on. It's like one of my favorite moments of, several years in a row going down there for it was, I think it was the spring that Syndergaard hadn't made his major league debut yet. And he and Harvey pitched in the same game. And the whole press box emptied out because Harvey throws his couple of innings. And everybody has to go down and talk to Matt Harvey. And I was like, Matt Harvey's awesome at that time. I'm not knocking what he's doing, but the Mets had always been like not quite giving us all the access that they gave to traditional outlets, right? Like I'd have access to Fields and the press box and all that, but the clubhouse was always this weird, dicey situation. And, a nice benefit of that was that Syndergaard absolutely shoved that day. And not that anybody else, he wasn't under the radar at that point. He was a known prospect, probably one of the top two or three or four in the organization at the time, if not the top one himself. But while everybody was on that major league story coverage of every step that Matt Harvey was taking, it was nice to just be one of the few who was just watching Syndergaard do his thing.
Right.
And I don't know if that game was on TV. And when you're there, you don't really care. But, you know, it was a road game. It was in Jupiter. They're playing the Marlins. Giancarlo Stanton is still there. And I remember Syndergaard just made good major league hitters look completely overmatched. And there's always that balance of saying, all right, this is spring training. This is practice. And those things are true. But this is a long answer to say it's very hard to judge just on spring training stats and that, you know, just the way my spring in Florida, we'll call it, has gone. I haven't really caught that much of even what has been on TV. So I know secondhand that people have said that several of these starting pitchers are looking good. Knock on wood, I'd say despite Senga being clearly the ace of this group and being injured, overall, this group of pitchers has remained fairly healthy as far as spring trainings go. That could change by the time any one of these games or practices happens between now and opening day. But it's not been a catastrophic spring for the Mets in terms of injuries so far. And that's nothing to sneeze at. But I hope what people are seeing and what those spring stats look like now are indicative of a rotation that exceeds our expectations.
Yes, I completely agree with that. The only thing that I will somewhat disagree with you on, and disagree is a strong word, the reason that I am more optimistic about this stat that I agree is probably bullshit is just because of the comparative nature of it, where it's not just that, oh, look, the Mets have a good ERA. It's that it is, compared to their contemporaries, it is the best of the ones out there. And the only reason that matters is because spring training is, we all know it's practice. It is practice that is in the disguise of a game. But with people like Severino, who I think a lot of people, myself included, were very skeptical of his potential to step up. The fact that he is looking good to decent to good is a remarkable thing. The fact that Quintana doesn't have any rust on him, it seems. The fact that Diaz came in and looked sharp as fuck the other day. Like, all those things are just, those are all anecdotal good news. But when you can see a little bit of statistical backup to what your eye is seeing, it makes you trust your eye a little bit better, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And so do I think it's all that meaningful? No, I don't. But there have also been seasons where the Mets have had a 5 ERA through spring training, and people will try to tell me that doesn't matter. And I think I think both don't matter, but you can't get upset about one and praise the other or vice versa. You have to sort of look at it as the same thing, right? You ignore the extremes in these situations because they're extremes and they are an unreliable statistic. But all things being equal, I would rather the Mets be in the position they're in right now with a low ERA in spring than with a high ERA in spring. I don't believe that you want to fuck up the dress rehearsal in order to preserve the good performance. I don't think that's real.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's fair. So yeah, let's hope it continues. It would be nice if the Mets had good starting pitching, and if they do, and Edwin Diaz is anything like before his injury. I don't know. Maybe they'll surprise us.
Yeah, I mean, that's always the hope, right? Especially during spring training, when hope springs eternal, all future, no past, etc. We have a couple of JDs to talk about now. There are rumors that tie the Mets to both JD Martinez and JD Davis. JD Martinez, as we've discussed in the show before, has not signed with a team yet. The fear with JD Martinez is that he would push them further over the luxury tax threshold that certain people, namely Andy Martino, seem to believe that the Mets really care about staying of not blowing up their luxury tax threshold this year, of being more conservative in that regard. And J.D. Davis was just released by the Giants the other day. And I'm curious, I think both of us think that Martinez is probably a better fit because of the positions that he plays, namely outfield, where Starling Marte is still very much a question mark. You know, we hope he's healthy, but we saw last year just how bad he looked. And, you know, whereas J.D. Davis would block probably both Brett Beatty and Mark Vientos, which I think the Mets are trying to avoid doing. So I'm curious as to if you would sign J.D. Davis and sort of what your gut's telling you about J.D. Martinez.
Yeah. I mean, with Martinez, I think at this point he could stand in the outfield, but he's really
moved away. Yeah.
Yeah. He's moved away from it. But the bat has just really not declined. I mean, his last few years, he hasn't hit like he did in his peak, but he's still been well above average, pretty much on a consistent basis. So he would move the needle for me on how I feel about the team as a whole. And I think really give you a middle of the order that could be quite fearsome for opposing pitchers. If you had a combo of Lindor, Alonso, Martinez, and that just gives Francisco Alvarez that little bit more. I mean, Alvarez seems absolutely determined. I don't know if it matters at all to him, but if you look at the whole team, it just feels like it gives some more breathing room where if Alvarez hits 20, 25 home runs, and that's lower than maybe the ideal outcome where it's 30 or more, he's one spot lower in the order, right? And that maybe doesn't matter quite as much. It also helps you as you get into, like, does it... Right now, the Mets need Starling Marte and Jeff McNeil both to bounce back significantly. I don't know if J.D. Martinez hitting like himself quite means that you can afford for Marte or McNeil to be bad again, but it definitely changes things around, I think, in that regard, that I think it just eliminates one variable in that lineup. So I would love for them to do it. Even if he is strictly a DH and there's not a lot of DH time for the other guys. And I'm not too concerned about blocking Mark Vientos. I hope he ends up proving me wrong at some point. I'm not rooting against him. But, you know, I wouldn't be too concerned about that. And Martinez is relevant in that way because of the DH spot. And then with J.D. Davis, it would be... similar in the sense that Vientos might get innings at third base, but Davis is also in this spot where he certainly fared well in San Francisco. I'm pretty surprised that they cut him for nothing other than saving money because of the timing that they did it. But it seemed like he had kind of settled in. I know what he did in his first portion of a season in San Francisco was better than what he did last year in a full season, but I'd entertain bringing him back. I don't know how much I'd want to deploy him at third base. I do right now want to see Brett Beatty get a shot. I mean, with Mauricio hurt, and for whatever reason, I'm still higher on Beatty than Vientos.
Me too, for what it's worth.
I'd like to see him get that shot, but there's sort of an argument to be made that if they get J.D. Martinez and they're a little more in on this year than it looked like they were,
then you might as well get J.D. Davis also. And
right.
And yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, J.D. Davis is no one's idea of a gold glove third baseman, right? So you might lose a little bit over Beatty in the field, but I don't think Beatty's a gold glove third baseman either. I don't know. Yeah, I'm in a similar position to where you are. I actually thought Davis was older than he is. He's only entering his age 31 season. He'll be 31 next month. And there's probably a fair amount of baseball left in that tank because he's the type of guy whose skills, at least on the offensive side, should age pretty well. You know, power tends to age pretty well. He walked more last season than he's ever walked before. He also struck out more last season than he ever struck out before. But you hope that maybe he is developing a better eye at the plate. You know, I don't know. I would go after JD Martinez, and I would take a flyer on JD Davis, because I don't think Davis is going to cost all that much money. And like you said, if you have if you add Davis and Martinez to this lineup, all of a sudden I think that we're looking at a better offensive season than we hoped, and you hope that maybe that can carry the team, even if they don't add a starting pitcher between now and the end of spring training. You know, I don't think they're going to add JD Martinez and Sneller Montgomery at this point. I think you're getting one or the other, and you're probably not getting a pitcher, even though I still think the pitcher maybe at this point makes more sense. I don't know. I keep going back and forth on whether the DH or the pitcher is more important. For so long, I was saying this team needs a DH more than they need a starting pitcher, but I might be coming around on that. Do you have any strong feelings on that right now?
I think... I mean, I still think Montgomery is a good fit because of the rotation needs for the next few years. But if I'm solely thinking about this season, I think it's a lot easier to get a DH who's probably been working out and hitting in the cages and doing a somewhat close approximation to what he'd be doing if he were at spring training, than a pitcher who, I don't know. They're just... You're looking at somebody who's not going to be in the opening day rotation, and it's a long season. I don't know if that matters enough to not sign someone. And if it's someone who's helping you solve a problem for several years, it's probably not the end of the world. But despite spending most of the winter being fairly pessimistic about what this team was going to do this year, we're 2 weeks away from opening day, and I think JD Martinez could be an instant boost and be ready to be in that opening day lineup and help this team from the outset, and be an easy player to flip at the trade deadline if he's good and the team is bad. And if it's a 1 year deal and he's bad, then it's Steve Cohen's money. I don't care. So
yes,
he is a much more convenient answer right now to what the Mets have going on. But if they were to decide not to sign him and see what the lineup can do with the guys they already have in house and go out and get Montgomery, then all right, if everybody's healthy when Senga comes back, if he comes back, which we, you know, sounds like he will, but we're not sure. Good problem to have. Adrian Hauser could, you know, be moved to the bullpen, and it's not the end of the world. So. Yeah.
Yeah,
Martinez for now, but I still support signing either one or both.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land.
You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, a couple other items of note before we wrap up here. Jeff McNeil is playing in a minor league game today or tomorrow. I forget what the actual announcement was, but McNeil hasn't played in almost a week. It's good to see him getting back out there. You mentioned he needs a bounce-back season, and the Mets need him to play second base or left field for them. So anything to add to that news item other than just we hope he's healthy?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's been a long enough absence from Major League spring training games that I'm a little bit concerned. I think we've spoken this winter that we're not totally thrilled with sort of some of the depth that they have in the infield. So, I just hope he's got enough reps in there to be ramped up and ready to go in a couple of weeks. And this is just a spring training blip. But it's been a long enough absence that I have at least a little bit of concern. Hopefully by the next time we record, that concern is alleviated.
Yes. Well said. And then two last things. Tomorrow, as we're recording this, but today, as you're listening to this, possibly, the Mets are participating in their spring breakout game, which is a great new initiative that Major League Baseball is doing, having a game that is intended to highlight each team's best prospects. It's exactly who you'd sort of think would be out there for the Mets. Kevin Parada, Luis Angel Acuna, the outfield tandem of Clifford and Gilbert, Jet Williams. You know, it's pretty much a who's who of the Mets. I think there's something like six of the Mets' 10 best prospects by the Amazing Avenue ranking that will be involved. I think this is a super cool idea, and I hope that baseball is smart and does more of these type of things. Any notes on the roster, specifically exclusions or just general thoughts about the game?
No. I think for the most part, it's the roster you'd expect. I think Christian Scott is not part of it, which is just one of the few consensus top prospects in the organization.
Yes.
That isn't participating, but they might've just looked at his schedule when he was throwing and said, hey, this doesn't line up and he's not a reliever. So it's not meaningful in any kind of way like that. It would be fun to see him take part in it, but there's definitely enough other top prospects involved that if you're tuning in, it should be fun to see those guys. Cause I feel like they didn't get a lot of reps in Major League spring training and whatever that happens, but a nice little showcase where by the middle of the summer, the futures game, I don't knock that. It's still cool that it happens, but one or two of your guys are there. It's kind of a lull in the season. It's the day before the Home Run Derby. I don't know. This feels more like the right timing for showcasing prospects to me.
Yeah. And also, the futures game is fun if you're somebody who has sort of a wider lens view on baseball. But for those of us who are only really knowledgeable about maybe the top 5 or 10 prospects in baseball and then the Mets prospects, you're going to see only a couple of guys you really have a rooting interest for. Whereas this game, you get to watch a lot of players. And, look, you and I talk all the time about how we saw, was it Jimenez? It was Jimenez, right? How we saw Andrés Jimenez in the field and both of us were like, holy shit, that kid's for real. And then when he broke out, we both have bragging rights to say, like, oh, yeah, we knew that was going to happen. We saw that coming, right? So you hope that you're watching this game and you see somebody who you can tell your kids one day when they're an all-star, I saw them play in a spring training game, and it was clear even then they were awesome. Like, just that's fun. It's fun for fans. It's great for baseball. I honestly don't know why it took them so long to do this.
Yeah, agreed.
But yeah, it should be fun. And final note before we wrap up today, we just want to wish well Daryl Strawberry, who is recovering from a heart attack. Seems to be doing all right. You know, I believe the heart attack was the day before his birthday. And just, you know, as we get older, we are going to continually have more close calls with people who we grew up watching and love. And, you know, it's a real shame that Daryl had to go through that, but it seems like he's okay. And so we're just wishing Daryl Strawberry well. But until next time, Chris, what is your music pick for this week?
So I've recommended music on which Charles Muthart has played before, because he is in the band Fuzz with Ty Siegel. Up until very recently, he was in Ty's touring band that was had the moniker The Freedom Band. He just dialed it back a tiny bit, I think, and maybe his touring commitments. So he's not in Ty's touring band anymore, but they've collaborated a lot. Fuzz is still alive, and Charles Muthart has made records with his own projects. So he put out a solo album called Black Holes Don't Choke on March 8th, was it? Yeah, I think just last week. And I think it's been a while since I've done a record rec of something that came out like just right now. So it feels good to be doing one. It's I like his songwriting and his voice both. But it's really awesome, just guitar throughout. And if you did listen to any of the, particularly Fuzz, because he has some vocals in that. I mean, most of the vocals in that band are Ty, but Muthart is on guitar in that band, and he's playing guitar on his own record. And it's really good. I think I've listened to it 3 times already. And, you know, sometimes in hindsight, I'll look at records on our spreadsheet that we have going back years now.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, oh, why did I pick that one? I don't know. That wasn't the strongest, but I don't think that'll ever change with this. This is just, it's a good record. If you like, I mean, a couple of the songs on it have got some like finger picking and acoustic. I mean, those often go hand in hand, but, there's some stuff on it that's not heavy. There's some that is. But whether you've listened to Fuzz or any of Ty Siegel's live stuff or not, I really think you can't go wrong. And I don't know that it's possible to always pick an album where you like every track, but I really do with this one.
Yeah.
And I love albums. I will listen to mediocre, relatively speaking, tracks if they're on an album as part of like the complete experience. But yeah, Black Holes Don't Choke, Charles Muthart, check it out. If you're a West Coast fan who's listening to us, I believe he's got some shows coming up out there. He's based in California, so a lot easier for him to do that than to get out east where we can see him. But either way, I recommend listening to the record.
Very nice. My record is not a new record, although it came out the one I'm talking about came out 2 years ago, but it was recorded much, much earlier. It is by a guitarist by the name of, and I'm going to probably mispronounce this, but I'm trying my best here, Bronco Mataya. I had heard about this on the great What's in Your Bag YouTube series that comes out of Amoeba Records in Los Angeles, and it was the band AJJ, formerly Andrew Jackson Jihad, talking about what they were picking up at the store. And it's a record that came out on the Numero Group. And for anyone who is familiar with looking back on music history for some unappreciated gems, the Numero Group is the tops at that. They put out great compilations and great reissues of albums that have fallen through the cracks. Bronco Mataya was an Eastern European immigrant who fled here, I believe, during or right after World War II. He was a guitar player in his native Yugoslavia, and he would play guitar in clubs and that over there. Came over here and became a barber. And then apparently, or I don't know if he was a barber there too, but he came over here, started a barber business, and the business went out. The business failed in the 60s in Los Angeles, where he had immigrated to when hippies stopped getting haircuts, which is just an amazing thing to say. Why did your business fail? Hippies, sir. But so he stopped being a barber and opened up a guitar repair store and built some of his own equipment, some delay units and some recording equipment, and recorded these folk songs from his home country. And there was an album released in the 70s that did nothing. And then someone from the Numero Group found it years later. And after negotiating with Mattia's family, it finally came out in 2022 under the name Over Fields and Mountains. This includes his entire 70s record and then a couple of extra tracks. And it's all guitar instrumentals. It's multi-tracked. And because of the reverb and delay on it, it just sounds like I hesitate to use the word haunting because I feel like that term can be overused, but there is sort of a haunted element to it. It sounds both beautiful and melancholy and a little bit on edge. I'm not doing it justice at all, but it's beautiful. It's really unique sounding. It sounds like it could have been recorded at any point in the last 100 years. And it's just really a stirring and beautiful recording of Eastern European folk songs. So I know this is not our usual type of pick, but that's kind of why I like it. But if you want to put on something that's going to just put you in a mood and bring you someplace different, I cannot recommend enough Over Fields and Mountains by Branko Mattia. Anyway, thank you so much for listening, folks. We appreciate it. As always, you can find Chris and I on Instagram. He's at Chris McShane. I am at Brian Needs a Nap. Go to homerandapplesauce.com for more. We got lots of Patreon stuff coming up in the next few weeks. And I want to put this out there. I am the producer of a new show called No Bad Hops. It is a baseball and beer podcast. We are doing a live event on opening day from Departed Souls Brewing in Jersey City. So if you are not going to Mets opening day, but want to watch the Mets and Yankees games with some fellow baseball fans, have some good beer, and have some hot dogs, there'll be a hot dog cart there. Come to Departed Souls. It's going to be super fun. Our actual event starts at, I think, 4 p.m., but I'm going to be there early on watching the Mets game. And come say hi and have a beer. They are brewing again a beer called Trash Can Bangers, which is because the Yankees are playing the Astros. Should be a super fun event. I'll talk more about it next week. But hope to see you there. Thank you, as always, for your support. And until next time, let's go Mets.